Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. You're tuning into On Fire to Inspire. I'm your host, Jennifer Hain, and I could not wait for this interview all day today. This is somebody who's I've actually gotten fairly close with over the last year or so. I had the opportunity to meet our guest, Ben Rovey, a couple months back, and he's just developed into such a strong mentor for me. And somebody who not only has great financial tips for me, but also just a source of professionalism. And Ben, he's been working with people in the financial industry and improving their lives since before the 1990s. And his mission is to educate and coach his clients. And he does it in such a natural way. His personality, just you have to gravitate toward it. And Ben actually has some exciting news tonight. He recently published a book called Playing the Wealth Building Game, Discovering a Different Way to Win Your Game. And Ben's going to talk to us not only about that book tonight, but also about how he works with Strategic Financial Designs. He is the founding partner of Strategic Financial Designs, and they're located in Greentree, a little bit outside Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And aside from that, he's going to give you some great financial tips, insight, and of course, being that it's On Fire to Inspire, Ben is bringing us tons of inspiration, and I can't wait to welcome him to the show. Feel free to call in if you'd like. You can call in tonight with any questions that you may have. You can call in at 347-850-8403, and you can also message us on Facebook while we're talking tonight on the podcast. You can find us at Jennifer Lee Life Coaching on Facebook, and for those of you who are friends with me on my personal page, feel free to message there. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Ben to the show tonight. Ben, thank you so much for calling in. I very much appreciate it.
No problem, Jennifer. I appreciate the very gracious introduction. One little correction. I got into the business in 1995, not before the 90s. You're making me older than I really am.
What? Sorry.
That's no, quite okay.
To your wisdom. Oh, my. So, well,
I'm very happy to be here tonight, by the way.
Oh, so. Good. I know. I couldn't wait to have you on. And as the listeners, as you've heard, I've had the pleasure of working with Ben, and you've just been such a great mentor to me. And I couldn't wait for everyone else to hear a little bit about what you do and how you could possibly help them as well.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. A little bit about me historically. You know, as I said, I came into this industry of financial planning in 1995. I was with a very large firm in downtown Pittsburgh for many years, and discovered that working for a big firm wasn't always necessarily the best way to serve people the way I wanted to. And so, you know, we broke off and formed my own company called Strategic Financial Designs, and we've added some players to the team. I have a business partner, Melanie Calusi, who is our investment specialist, as a part of the group, and we are growing, adding other advisors to the mix so that we can live our mission statement in helping as many people as possible reach their full financial potential. So that's a little bit about me. We have a pretty unique process, and but that's, like I said, that's how I got to kind of where we are today.
And your office, I mean, is fabulous. And for all of you listening, I've been to the office several times, and it's so welcoming. And, you know, Ben and his team have taken me through their process. And I really appreciate how personable you guys are with everyone who you work with. And I just wanted to tell you that and let the listeners know as well.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, one of our big core philosophies, and we had with the whole group today, including our staff, we had a off-site planning meeting today in which we really stressed the importance of when someone walks through our door, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, how much money they have in their accounts or anything like that. It's a matter of really saying, you know what, we are here to make sure that we're going to help them and they're going to become a part of our family at the Strategic Financial Designs world. And we believe very heavily in working with people that we like, and it goes beyond just the planning aspect. We've become very close friends with our clients, and I think that makes for the best possible relationship, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does show through in your book as well, which I want to get into for sure. Just your writing style and everything is very easy to understand, because I think when anyone hears the term financial advisor or money, I mean, obviously a huge picture comes to mind and it becomes quite overwhelming, especially when you're battling debt and everything like that. And talking with an advisor about your finances is also an overwhelming picture, because sometimes a lot of people take it as out of sight, out of mind. If you don't deal with money, I guess you won't really have to, I guess, face your problems. And at least I've taken that approach throughout the years, which I've regretted. And that's why I'm very excited to also be working with you on the side of this too. And Ben, why don't you talk to us a little bit about the angle of your book? And like I said, it comes off so personable.
Well, you know, and I feel that one of the unique abilities of our firm, not only me, but the other advisors, and we really stress this quite a bit, is we want to make sure that we're speaking, you know, keeping all of these complex concepts, you know, because you've got, what do you do with your 401k? What do you do with your student loan debt? What do you do with this, that, or the other thing? And they're very complex topics. And I think we've all had the experience of going to a doctor or someone, they start talking to you in this language that's almost foreign to you. And I think one of our unique abilities is the fact that we are able to take these very complex topics and simplify them. You know, so with regards to the book, I tried to make it more or less a conversation. You know, it's just like as if I want people to be able to read it. And I've gotten this response already, so that it feels like we're almost sitting across the table from each other as you read it, just having a simple conversation about some of the fundamentals about how money works. You know, maybe different things that people may not have thought of. So, you know, keeping it simple is certainly something that we're pretty good at. So.
Yeah, and I do like, if I can just quote too, for all of you listening, if you haven't gotten the book or heard of the book, again, it's called Playing the Wealth Building Game, Discovering a Different Way to Win Your Game. And there's a big chess piece on the front, which I love, and you can find that on Amazon very easily. And I love in the beginning one of the beginning statements, it says, people have a vision of what they would like to do or become, and wealth will provide resources for allowing them to achieve that vision. And I love that, because I think a lot of us, of course, when you don't want to come from a greed or greedy or selfish standpoint, of course, all of us want money. Who would turn that down, really? And I think a lot of us want money because of just that, the resources to actually live our lives comfortably, not even from a greed standpoint. What do you think, Ben?
You know what? And, you know, in thinking about that, money serves a purpose. You know, some people are like, listen, I don't really want to be wealthy. I want to be very humble and blah, blah, blah. However, at the end of the day, to live your life, you know, fortunate or unfortunate as it may be, it does require resources, and those resources come in the form of money, because money actually provides you with an exchange of value. So those people who want to be charitable, you can't be charitable necessarily unless you're giving your time, without necessarily having resources to be able to do those things that you want to do. If you want to educate your children, you know, and I know we're probably a younger crowd, so if you don't have kids yet, you might one day, and if you want to pay for their college education, you have to have money to do that. So, you know, money is nothing more than a means to provide an exchange of value for whatever it is that your vision for yourself and your family happens to be. So, you know, and it's really important to address that. And unfortunately, when you're trying to create wealth for yourselves, you know, you've got a lot of things working against you. You've got taxes of all types. You've got, you know, insurance costs. You've got inflation. You've got unknowns that exist. So what the book really tries to do, and by the way, it's not a how-to book. It doesn't tell you how to go about doing things. But what it's designed to do is begin to show you that there are external forces at work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year that are working against your wealth-building game. And once you understand these forces, it gives you a little bit of insight to say, maybe I should be doing things a little bit differently than maybe even the mainstream media suggests.
And you made, when you, going back to what you said about if you don't have kids, but maybe want kids one day and have to plan for that and college funding and all that stuff, when you, and I'm only realizing this now, having, I'm in my late 20s, and when you grow up, you realize, man, I really wish I would have done this differently, especially when it comes to college and those opportunities where you just did, money was not on your mind, saving money was not on your mind. And not that I was a spoiled kid, but I had, you know, parents to be there for me during college and everything. And sure, all the loans are now under my name and what have you, but I like what you said about that and planning ahead, because you mentioned something else in your book, and it was during chapter one, and you said, let's see here, we all are, the problem is not that we have multiple problems that need decisions, rather the problem is that we tend to make these decisions without considering how one piece may affect other pieces in the big picture. And for example, I've gotten loans taken out in college where I didn't need the exact amount of money I ended up taking out. So, oh, I have an extra $3,000. Did I give that back? No, I put it toward my car. So it's like, you know, you don't think of those things, and now I'm paying interest on it. What are your thoughts on some of those things and pieces of advice?
And again, it's hard to give specific advice because everyone's financial situation is, in fact, different and unique. So the correct answer for you might not be the correct answer for someone else, depending on the pieces that they have in play. But you hit on a very good point, is one of the big problems that people face in their lives is you have to make all of these multiple financial decisions. You're making student loan decisions. You're making retirement planning decisions, insurance decisions, other debt decisions, and the list goes on and on. But the unfortunate thing is many times people make those decisions independently of every other decision that they're making. So what may seem like a good idea in one area of your life, like a student loan payment or what have you, you're making that decision, it has a rippling effect elsewhere in your life. I think the analogy I used in the book, and I share this with my clients all the time, I want you to imagine standing along the shore of a lake, and the water is as smooth as glass. And you take a stone and you throw it into the lake. Well, when you see the splash, that represents one independent money decision, whatever it may be. But if you wait just for a second, you see these ripples that come off of the splash. And the ripples ultimately affect everything else in the lake, the environment of the lake. So it's the same thing with your financial life. When you make a money decision in one area of your life, it does have a rippling effect elsewhere, and it's important to understand what those effects are. So, and again, I know I may not be answering your question about, you know, should I have paid for the car or whatever. The answer is it depends. It depends on what your unique position is with regards to everything else. So the
that's great. And you're right. I mean, and that's why I also love you guys' presentations and what you do, because you don't generalize your concepts. You make it very personable to each person's need, because everyone is different.
Everyone is different. I mean, you think about it. I mean, I think we've all played the game of Monopoly, right? And I think the way you play the game is different every time. But I want you to imagine sitting down to play the game of Monopoly, and you've got the top hat, you've got the car, the hotel pieces, the community chess cards, and you're getting ready to roll the dice to play the game of Monopoly, and all of a sudden you discover you don't actually have the physical game board. Okay, well, it'd be a little difficult to play Monopoly, wouldn't it? Because you would never know when to pick up $200 for pass and go. You never know when to build a hotel, charge rent, or take a ride on the Reading Railroad or anything like that. But unfortunately, people are going through the, you know, life playing the real live game of Monopoly without some type of game board. So the thing that our firm has is we have an economic model that we really call our game board, where we can show you how to take all the pieces in your life and organize them on a board. Think about any game. Every game has pieces or players. Every game has a field of play or a game board. So we've got this game board that helps organize you and kind of show you all the relationships. And then it's all about figuring out how do you go on offense, how do you create defense to help you win your wealth-building game. And that's kind of the premise of how we do what we do.
I love that. Now, you obviously, a lot of people struggle when they, or cringe, I should say, when they hear money, because a lot of us are battling debt. And so let's take it to the good debt and the bad debt. I love how you broke that down in your book. If you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, people. I mean, obviously, everyone struggles with debt. And in a perfect world, we would all be debt-free, you know. And the goal is ultimately to be debt-free. But for many people, that's not possible, like, overnight, because you'd have to sacrifice, you know, something to get there. So, you know, our philosophy is that, listen, if you're going to own debt, let's own it the right way. And we really believe that there are two types of debt. You've got good debt and you've got bad debt. Pretty cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
So good debt would be the type of debt that you can deduct on your income taxes, such as mortgages, home equity, things like that. Bad debt would pretty much be everything else. And there is a small portion of student loan debt that is deductible, but only up to a limit. So, you know, the goal when we work with people, whether it be through debt restructure or what have you, intra-family loans, it would be to say, how can we take bad debt and convert it into good debt? And if we've got good debt, how can we make the good debt better debt? Ultimately, trying to free up cash flow to be able to solve other problems. I think one of the knee-jerk reactions for a lot of people is, I'm going to throw every dollar that I have at my debt, which may or may not be a good idea, depending on your situation. But if you think about it, if you throw every last resource you have at paying down your debt, and now I'm not advocating not to want to be debt-free, but if you throw every resource that you have at your debt, what if there's an emergency, you know, that requires money and you don't have any adequate savings? Well, how are you going to finance that emergency? You may have to go back into debt. So when we look at debt reduction or debt elimination, we want to make sure that there's a good balance. And, you know, balance is kind of a key word in the planning that we do. We want to make sure that there's a good balance between debt reduction or elimination and savings. You know, we want to make sure both are occurring simultaneously, because that's how you make sure that, you know what, if emergencies happen, things happen that we can't predict, you're in a better financial position to be able to overcome that, whatever it is.
Yes. I love that because it is true. Otherwise, you go right back into debt. So it's, you know, why not? And in that, in my eyes, at least, better safe than sorry proves to be true in that circumstance.
Absolutely. And it really boils down to one word. And this word is also found in many games: strategy. You know, just throwing money at debt, sure, that's a strategy, but is it a well-defined, broad-picture strategy? Maybe not.
Mm.
So we want to have a strategic design in place that allows you to reduce debt without necessarily sacrificing a well-thought-out savings program.
Nice. Now, why don't you talk to us a little, being that you've been working with clients years after year, could you just give us a story that's been pretty cool for you, or one that you remember most, having helped somebody come out of debt, or kind of like a success story?
I've got, you know what, I've got so many. You know, I was thinking about this, you know, the other day. I remember one of my first clients when I was a young advisor in the business. You know, he was a professor at one of the local colleges. He's probably in his late 30s at the time. And he said, listen, I really want to retire by the time I'm 55. I'm like, this young advisor, you know, looking at his pieces, thinking, okay, sure, we can try and help you get there. And we went through a series of strategies and this and that. And, you know, he's still a client of mine. And this was back in 1996, you know, when he first met with us. And we're happy to report that he retired a couple years early at age 53. You know, so that was a great, great feeling. We had a client event, and we host client events at the office or offsite or wherever, where he came to one of our first events, and we had a big toast, and all our other clients that were there celebrated with him, and that was a great feeling, you know. But there are so many other stories that don't necessarily involve retirement. I mean, it's about you know, just helping the young person starting out, getting on a viable savings program, overcoming the fear of, oh, gosh, I've got all these debt payments. I've had sad stories as well where, you know, one of the family members passes away, one of the spouses passes away, and, you know, because of the work that we've done, you know, the financial world still goes on for the surviving family. You know, the thing that I love about what we do is because everyone is different and unique, there are no 2 days, no two people that we work with that are exactly alike.
Yeah.
Everyone has a common financial vision of wanting to be the best they can be, you know, not having the fear of running out of money. But at the end of the day, the strategies can be different. And, you know, it's really about having impact for whatever the situation may present.
You know, and it's fine. I mean, I'm not going to say who, because, but it was so funny. When I first started, I guess, working with you more, or after we had met the first couple of times, I was on Facebook and I saw somebody post a status that they had just paid. They were so excited. They just paid off all their credit card debt. And then they thanked your company. And I was just like, that's so weird, because I didn't realize at the time that this person was affiliated with you. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. So just to let you know that, too, I mean, there's definitely positive words out there for you guys.
Well, that's a plus, and I appreciate hearing those kind of things. And we are, as a company, trying to become, what do you call it, more social.
Yes.
I mean, you know my marketing director, Mallory, who does a great job of making sure we're getting the word out. And everything like that.
Fantastic.
But, at the end of the day, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead.
At the end of the day, if we can come back to the office or home at night, look in the mirror and know that we had a positive impact in someone's life that day, that's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. And it shines through. Like I said, you guys are a very transparent company, and when you're dealing with money, that's very comforting. So.
Yeah, especially these days.
Why don't you, oh my gosh, I know. It's critical to be able to trust who you're working with, and I think that's a pivotal first step, is gaining the trust of the client. And you guys, you do that as soon as you walk in the door. So, Ben, why don't you talk to us a little bit about, is there a certain chapter or topic in your book that you're most passionate about, or that you love coaching people on most?
You know what? I don't know that there's one specifically that I'm more passionate about than another, because, again, everyone is this whole conglomeration of money decisions. But, you know, I would have to say, if I had to narrow it down, it's the retirement planning, you know, because when young people come into the workforce, the first thing they're presented with is your 401k plan or some type of retirement plan offered through work, and they're encouraged to put as much money into that as possible. I mean, you see that from some of the so-called gurus on financial media. You know, you read about that. But when you understand the truth about how that money decision really works, you know, and I'm not saying not to do those things, by the way, but doing it before you do other things could be detrimental in the wealth-building process. You know, we follow what we call our rule book. You know, think about a financial game. Every game has a rule book as well that gives you the sequential logical order for building wealth. And retirement plans are in there, but they may not necessarily be the first thing a person should be doing in their life. So, you know, I'd say probably understanding, you know, retirement planning is important, but understanding also that if we use retirement plans, and we should, but overusing them could create significant tax problems for people ultimately when they retire. So if I had to pick one that I'm really passionate about, that may be it. We want to save money, don't get me wrong, but we don't necessarily want to trap it inside of a IRS-sponsored retirement plan. We want to have some there.
So what would you say is a smart step for somebody before they sign up with a 401k? What would be a good first step for somebody to consider?
Well, I think the first step someone should consider is meeting with a financial professional, whether it's from our firm or some other firm. You know, I was on the I have a client who we're working with in Seattle right now. The guy's a dentist, and we work all over the country. And, you know, I asked him the question. I said, you've been doing your own finances for so long. And he goes, yeah, I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. I said, well, you know what? I wouldn't want to practice dentistry on myself because I don't know how to do that. And it's just like everybody else. You're trained in your own profession, okay? And when it comes to, you know, finance, it's pretty complex, as we've discovered. You know, so sitting with a professional to really help you sort through your benefit package, understand what's good for you and your situation, is probably critical. That would be my biggest recommendation: meet with a professional to evaluate your situation.
Okay. And why don't you let us know how, or the listeners as well, how they can connect with you, whether it's on a website or if you'd prefer email?
All right. Well, you know, probably the easy way is just a phone call. And the number at the office is 412-733-4016. And my email is brovee, at sfd21.com. So, and the website is also www.sfd21.com as well. So,
excellent. And Ben, is there going to be a second book? Can we look forward to that?
Well, before I get to that, I don't know if you mentioned, I can't remember if you mentioned this or not. The thing that we're pretty happy about is this book on Amazon actually hit as a number one bestseller. So
yes,
we're pretty
proud
of that.
I've been promoting like crazy.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. And the answer is yes, there is going to be a second book coming in the third week. The way I designed the wealth building game is to ultimately provide a series. Now, it's not going to be in the next few months, but because this was a difficult task, and I had a lot of people, great people, helping me, you know. But there will certainly be another book on the horizon, probably next year. But we're trying to get settled into this one right now.
Sure. Well, congratulations again. That is a huge success, and what a big motivator for the next book, you know, although the bar is set high.
But anyway, I mean, well, the thing your listeners should take away from this, I hope, is meet with a professional. You know, it doesn't, you know, I know with our firm at least, it doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. We don't charge a fee for consultations. Or planning, you know, it's really a matter of taking that first step, being brave to come in and say, can you help me take a look at this stuff? And that's what we're really here to do.
Sure. All right. Well, you heard it there, everybody. Ben Rovee, best-selling author and founding partner of Strategic Financial Designs out in Green Tree, Pittsburgh, PA. And like he said, you can give them a call at 412-733-4016, or you can email Ben at brovee@sfd21.com. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jennifer, for the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners.
Absolutely. You have a good night.
All right. Have a great day. Bye now.
All right. As you heard, that was Ben Rovee. Like I said, best-selling author, founding partner of Strategic Financial Designs. And you can check out his book, Playing the Wealth Building Game, Discovering a Different Way to Win Your Game, on Amazon. And it's so exciting that he sold over 500 copies, and it's so deserved. Like I said, he really knows his stuff, and I'm honored to be working with Ben. And just some things that you can all look out for is Jennifer Lee Life Coaching will be holding a workshop this summer, August 2015, at Shanahan Country Club. We will also be partnering with Strategic Financial Designs and launching that event. It's a self-confidence workshop called Hear Me Roar, and registration will open this April, so make sure you keep an eye out for that. Also, I will be interviewing next week on Fire to Inspire, Dominic Damaski, who is the founder of Motivation Champs, and he is also coming out with his own book called The Unofficial Guide to Fatherhood. So make sure you check out that. It's next week on Monday, the 30th at 6 p.m. Eastern. I'm Jennifer Heen, the founder of Jennifer Lee Life Coaching, and I hope you all have a wonderful week.